Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman, and this episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by the movie Last Rampage, the new true crime film starring Robert Patrick, Heather Graham, and Bruce Davison. Hey, Morgan Freeman, what's this movie about? Well, I'll tell you, dumbass. In 1978, convicted murderer Gary Tyson, played by Robert Patrick, escaped from an Arizona prison with the help of his three sons. Over the following 2 weeks, Tyson and his gang roamed the Southwest, murdering six people before confronting police in a bloody shootout near the Mexican border. Next to the gunfight at the OK Corral, this is the most sensational crime story in Arizona history. Unless you count that time the Arizona Cardinals beat the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers was better that day, but just choked when it counted. Tyson's wife, played by Heather Graham. Heather Graham. Yeah, she's great. She struggled with untiring determination to keep her family together, even in spite of her husband's murderous escape. Last Rampage isn't just a movie about a prison break or murders. It's a story about what it means to be family. And ask the questions, is your family first, no matter what? And if not, where is your loyalty? Huh? Where is it? Do you know? I don't think you do. Well, you can find out when you watch the movie Last Rampage. In theaters September 22nd and available for on-demand pre-order August 22nd. In theaters September 22nd and available for on-demand pre-order August 22nd, which is already passed. So that's now. Get it on demand pre-order now, is what I'm trying to say. Find more on Twitter by following at Last Rampage Film or on Facebook.com/Last Rampage Film. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. By the way, this is not really Morgan Freeman, but you knew that, because you're a sexy motherfucker.
Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. What did you do? Did you see a dwarf get married? No, you didn't. I did. Holy shit. Brad's married. What the fuck? So amazing. One of the greatest, most fun nights I think I've ever been a part of. Just a real sweet celebration of love and camaraderie and just good times, you know? Good times, good people, great tunes, booze. There's really not a better thing to do in life, I think. If you got some drinks, some great music, good friends, and everyone just coming together for love, like, fuck, it just doesn't happen a lot. I mean, it does. People get married all the time, but... You know, it was a good group, you know. A lot of people knew each other, and that makes it real fun. So, some crazy dancing. Brad was breaking it down. I posted a video on my Instagram of him doing the worm at one point. He was definitely bringing it at his own wedding. And, you know, sometimes the bride and the groom, they're not the most social or lively people, and they come out of their shell a little bit for these things. But Brad really brought it, and it was really fun to see and be a part of. And did I get pretty sauced? Yeah, I did. But it was a lot of fun. The live band was dope. I played some cornhole with Josh Adam Myers and Mark Ellis, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, shout out to Brad. Congrats. You're going to be a great husband and probably father someday, but not too soon, motherfucker, because then I'll never see you. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Today's episode is a phenomenal episode with a brilliant comedian. Just one of the sweetest human beings on planet Earth. Someone who's worked her freaking ass off. From Georgia and all the way to L.A. She was on Chelsea Lately. She wrote for The Burn, Jeff Ross's show. She was written for the Comedy Central Roasts. She was a writer on the Josh Wolf show. You've heard her and seen her on so much stuff because she's just a staple in the comedy world, you know. And recently I got to work with her on the Roast of Big Poppy, which was a lot of fun. And we talked about that, amongst other things. Even we talked about her mom, who is a big fan of the ALN podcast, Sue. And I told Sarah I'd give Sue a shout out in the intro. We talked about her on the podcast. So Sue, you're in for a nice treat or two. If you want to play the Sue drinking game, it's anytime your name is mentioned and we talk about how much we love you, you drink a bottle of wine. Yeah, there you go. You might be hammered by the end of this podcast. Shout out to Sue at Sue Haynes 7, Haynes 7 on Twitter. We were going to call you on the podcast. We might do it next time. Anyway, thanks for listening, because your daughter is the shit. Enjoy the hell out of this episode. Follow Sarah on Twitter at Sarah Tiana, S-A-R-A-H-T-I-A-N-A. SarahTiana.com for all her tour dates. She is on the road, and go see her. She is so funny live, so sweet. Great joke writer and just a great comic. If you want to see great comedy, go see Sarah Tiana. Come see me, please, this weekend in West Palm Beach, Florida at the Improv, the Palm Beach Improv, Thursday through Saturday, the 7th through the 9th of September. Palm Beach Improv in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hurricane Irma is supposed to be making a visit, but hopefully she will not, because I want to live. So come out and see me the 7th through the 9th, Palm Beach Improv. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com or Improv.com. And then the rest of my tour dates, I'm in LA for a while after that, doing a lot of shows at the store and the Laugh Factory and the Improv. But all my tour dates at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams is fresh off his wedding, so he will be taking a few weeks to chill. But then September 14th through the 16th, Brad's in Kansas City at the Improv. Go see Brad September 14th through the 16th at the Kansas City Improv. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com, AboutLastNightPodcast.com. The new one is coming soon. I know I said it was going to be ready today, but the merch is taking a little bit longer to get organized because we want to make it perfect. So bear with us a little bit more time to get this site approved and the merch up, and then we'll be launching the brand new AboutLastNightPodcast.com. I can't wait. New videos, content, shows, everything. It's going to be a one-stop shop for the podcast. We can't fucking wait. And I know you guys have been wanting it, so thank you for being patient. And of course, make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. Comment and rate the podcast on iTunes 5 stars. Comment on the iTunes page and email us aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Your favorite fan moments, highlights, where you get the pod, how you got into it, and all that jazz. And we'll read it on the show. Coming up, we're going to try to do that every show, Brad and I, once we launch the new site and the merch. So that'll really be exciting. I think that's it. A lot of great eps on the way. Joey Lawrence, Brett Morin, Jonathan Kite, Asif Ali from Wrecked, Jubal Flag from Seattle's 92.5 radio station, Piot Michaels coming back. Man, a lot. Taylor Tomlinson, it's a great few months of the pod coming up. So make sure you're subscribed and tell your friends, tell your family, and get into it. Now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny Sarah Tiana.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Are you done with political stuff? Are you like tired of it?
No, I'm not done with it. But I'm. Yeah, I get exhausted by it.
Yeah.
I think there.
I have to take breaks.
Yeah, there's literally, like, political fatigue in terms of, like, you just have to be like, you know what, I'm just not going to check Twitter.
Yeah.
Because there was a stretch, and arguably the stretch is still going on, where you wake up, you go like, all right, what's going on in the world? And I'm depressed. Like, right off the bat. Yeah. Like, just stuff happened, and now I'm bummed out.
I'm so bummed. And then, like, I think what it's really doing is creating, like, this indifference in people to where, like, they're just, like, don't even want to vote or they don't care anymore, which is, you know, ultimately the Republicans' biggest dream, you know?
Nobody votes.
Right.
And
you can move that to this. If it's, like, completely blocking, like, what? Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So you can see my face.
Yay. I like that.
All right. Fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah. I also think that people there was a stretch where people were getting outraged over like things a comedian said or because a school didn't serve lunch to a certain kind of or whatever the hell and we were outraged by it, and now we're outraged out, like,
yeah, we're so numb.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
I'm always at a 10 now, so it's just now I can't be. So now when something actually happens that is actually horrible,
yeah,
now I can't be pissed off. It's like, oh, the star of Two Broke Girls said the N-word at a gas station. I'm like, don't care. Like, no. I don't have time.
She didn't tweet at Kim Jong-un that we are gonna kill him.
God, isn't that? Have other people tweeted at him? I guess probably.
Is he on Twitter?
No.
Oh, that was a joke?
No.
See, I bought it.
I mean, I don't think he's on Twitter. I mean, his people don't even have the internet. I'm sure he does.
Right.
But I mean,
but he probably just uses it for porn,
to him,
right?
You know, I mean, he finds out.
Isn't it so crazy that like that guy probably watches porn? Like he's like, I don't know. At the core of it, I just think about like
Kim Jong Un.
Yeah.
Or Donald Trump.
Trump for sure. No, I don't think Trump's ever come.
Yeah. Like even, where I think all of even it comes from.
I think like even all of his. I think he brags about like we just walk in and say like, oh, take your clothes off, or I would slap him in there, like all that stuff. But I don't think he actually has tried to follow through, or he's probably done that, and then he brags about that and just hopes that you fill in the blank and be like, cool, man, you harassed her, and then you fucked her, right? It's like, no, you probably stopped after that. They probably walked away, and you didn't get... I think it's just a bunch of pent-up cum.
Pent-up cum.
That's what it is.
Oh, God, how do we...
It's not just like... A huge personality flaw. I mean, if you call
somebody should step
up. If you call everybody a liar, that is some rich people bullshit right there.
Right?
That's what rich people do. And they're just like, liar.
I think you're a liar for saying that.
Like, liar. Like, what is that argument?
I know, right?
Liar. Like, you're a brat.
Yeah.
You're a brat. That's what brats do.
Well, and this,
you're an adult brat.
Yeah. And this goes to people that are used to getting their way, no matter what.
No, that's
that
absolutely
request
what
is. And that's not a right issue or a left issue. That's a, you just have everything.
I think that's a part of like why like football players hit women. They're just not used to being told no.
Yeah.
I know part of it is CTE and part of it could be just like the crazy brutality of football. But I think part of it is just like, no, they've been coddled and told they're the greatest their whole lives. Yeah. And then a girl's like, no, I'm not doing that. And they're like, what the fuck?
And it just doesn't fire.
They don't know what to do.
They don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's like kind of like how he is. Like, it's just like.
Do you remember growing up, and this is for both of you guys, you remember like growing up watching political comedy? Like I remember like, first of all, just the first stand-up you saw. I want to know what that was for you. But also like the first taste of like something that was talking about politics to where you were like, oh, that's like, it gave you a little bit more insight into what was happening because they were making jokes about it. And then it made you, like, that's how I got interested, was because some late night or Daily Show or something. And I was like, oh yeah, that's, oh, so that's what's happening right now because they put some jokes on top of it. Yeah. Do you remember?
I mean, definitely the Daily Show is like really the first time I really even cared.
Yeah.
What about stand up?
What, the first time?
Yeah, that you saw. Yeah.
Oh, the first live stand-up or TV I ever saw was Mitch Hedberg.
Wow.
Live. There you go.
Yeah, what a solid I never end. Grew up on it. I never really watched it. I think I'd seen it, like my mom was like watching Roseanne or something, but like I thought that Roseanne started stand up after the TV show. Like,
yeah.
I didn't realize you had, like, that's why when people told me I should do stand up, I was like, but I don't have a TV show. Like, I don't really know why.
But I don't have a family, and John Goodman's not my husband.
I don't get it.
I'm not rich and famous yet.
Yeah, I'm not
rich and
famous.
Why would I start stand up?
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That is so interesting to me because we all have no we all don't know how you get into it. So it's like you create your idea of how you get into it based on
your own
thoughts.
Yeah, for me it was just a bunch of people telling me that I had to. Nobody ever told me I was funny till I moved here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, but you said everybody back home.
I was so sarcastic that they'd be like laughing, but they'd be like, "That's not funny." So I heard that's not funny.
Oh,
that's
really. Okay.
Took that very seriously.
But then, would that make you want to do it more?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I was like not going to not be sarcastic.
Sarcasm.
And definitely, I always, you know, had a lot of friends because I was like jolly and fun and happy, but I never really thought of that as funny or like class clown type thing.
And would you do it to teachers and stuff?
No, always
when the whistle was blown.
Just my friends.
Yeah.
And my mom was also really sarcastic, so it was great.
By the way, shout out to your mom. What's her first name?
She loves you guys. Sue.
Oh, yeah. Sue, if you're listening,
You told me at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival that your mom listens to two podcasts, us and The Dollop.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, wow.
That's a great sense of humor. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, well, I listen to The Dollop as well, and that's like, wow, they're way smarter than us. Like,
well, hold up.
That's nuts.
Let's ask Sue.
we'll see what
Which
she
is the
says.
Name of a, our third podcast yeah. where we compare us. Yeah. It's basically we just call Sue and she tells us who was better that week.
I think she follows you guys and Train on Twitter. I think
that's Train?
The
band?
Yeah.
I mean, I need a sign. Dude, has now, she seen him live?
Now her worlds are colliding and she's like, well, if yeah. Adam sings Train, it's over.
Oh, yeah. Dude, well, come hang out with me in karaoke, Sue, and I'll do both of those things for you.
You are a good singer.
Thank you. Yes, I mean, I just try way too hard.
Yeah.
that's half the battle.
I think that's the secret to most things in the arts, whether it be like singing, acting, comedy, painting. Just try way too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
just,
true.
Just put everything into it.
Wait, so your mom was super sarcastic. Is that, by the way, that's early on, I mean, I was so attracted to that as like a kid for any type of stand up or.
My mom's taken, so sorry. She has a boyfriend. No, she has,
this was the only reason. This was the only reason why we were having you on the podcast.
Just trying to bridge
slowly
the gap.
Get to your mom. So now, all right. So that was Sarah Tiana, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you guys very much.
Good luck walking your dog.
Yeah, watch her stuff on Netflix. Okay.
Wait. What was like the first, what do you remember like your mom saying that like rubbed off on you sarcastically?
I remember like she came home one time. Like now, if we had the TV up too loud, my dad would come home and be like, "God, turn it down."
Yeah.
My mom would come home and she'd be like, "Girls, it's so great that you have the TV up that loud because you know our neighbors can't afford cable and they're so far away.
Oh,
you know,
my
we should
God.
Turn it up louder. We should turn it up louder because you're being so generous and I'm so proud." And we're like,
"All right, let's see how far your generosity can go.
Yeah.
Turn it up all the way."
Yeah.
And
that's
all the way.
So
why not?
Funny.
And, and by the way, that was probably more effective.
Way more effective.
In getting you to do the thing. Because I don't know what it is, but something about just blind rage and screaming and stuff, like, that just go. That, like, yeah. I know how to process that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really scare me or get, like, right. But, like, someone that's very passive aggressive like that, like, oh, okay, fine.
Well, also, she was a disciplinarian, so we knew that we had to listen to her way more than my dad.
Wait, how so?
Is that like a dominatrix?
Well, my mom would just like had the power. Well,
had the power. Oh, okay.
She had the power to discipline. Like, we were more afraid of my mom than we were of my dad.
Wow.
Like, we were like, my dad was a Pepperidge Farm, like the Pepperidge Farm guy in my hometown. So like,
he wait.
Yeah, so he like delivered the Pepperidge Farm cookies and goldfish everywhere.
I've only read about that guy. All right, sorry, Sue. I've got a new favorite in the Tiana household. The cookie
Adam,
man. Wait.
Adam's not going to quit his job as a comedian and be like, wait, you could just deliver cookies?
Yeah. Well, up until this point, I've only been friends with someone who's made cookies, and that's Brad. So now, but now I'm meeting someone. Wait, so how do you get...
Yeah.
Was that cool to have your dad as that...
At the time, it wasn't. Yeah. No, because, you know, also... my dad used to be like a bigwig up in Pepperidge Farm, and he would travel like Sunday through Thursday. I never saw him. And then we started looking at like mansions in Atlanta, like we were going to move. And then the next thing I knew, we were poor, and my dad was home every day. And he bought a Pepperidge Farm distributorship so that he could like coach my softball team and stuff. Like, he just hated being away from us. He's like that. He's a good dad.
Awesome.
But when I was 12 years old, I was like, this is the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
I don't
like trading a
home.
Softball career
yeah,
for
I
that.
Don't
pool.
Yeah, I'd rather have like cool clothes and yes jeans. But yeah, so
that's awesome.
And also, you know, then I finally started obviously loving it. But when you're young, like, you don't really like Nantucket cookies. You know what I mean? Like, you like Oreos and Teddy Grahams, and like, those were drug paraphernalia in my house.
Oh,
like,
sure.
We had alcohol everywhere, but if I had a Nutter Butter, forget it. My dad was gonna be so upset.
You're a traitor.
I know.
Like, they're like, wait, so you're, and this is in Calhoun, Georgia?
Yeah.
So this is like, yeah, bring home a black guy. That's fine. But how well, dare you
I mean,
have
not,
a Teddy Graham in our house?
I don't mind making him upset, but I ain't getting written out of the will. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. But no.
Wait,
I mean,
what about black guy with a Pepperidge Farm cookie in his hand?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know. My dad would be really torn. Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah. He does have Milano's. Yeah. Good taste. So torn.
Yeah, no, my dad would even get mad if we were making cookies at home. Like, he'd come home and go, why make a whole truck full of cookies outside? Like, we were wasting flour and sugar.
Oh, my God. Did they instill any sort of theatrical or comedic, like, when you moved out here, was it just on your own accord? Like, all right, fuck it. Nobody, I've given it this many years and nobody has taken my sarcasm seriously. as a profession, they're just being like, ain't gonna happen, but you can try if you want. How was it?
No. I was actually born in Northern California. We moved to Georgia when I was 5.
Oh,
so
shit.
We have family. I'd come to California every 3 or 4 years. So mm-hmm. coming to California was not a big deal for me or any of us. And we traveled so much as a family. My parents never spent money on my sister and I individually, but they spent money on us as a family. So we took a vacation every year. We had an in-ground pool.
Ooh,
yeah, fancy. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like looking back, they did everything right. When I went to school for, I ended up majoring in film and minoring in theater. I studied theater in Paris, like my senior year in college. And
University of Georgia, right?
I started there.
Okay.
And then I finished at Georgia State in Atlanta.
Okay.
And then moved to LA like 6 months after I graduated.
Wow. Was there a goal in mind moving out to LA, or was it just, I'm just going to go to California?
I wanted to be an actress.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved out here for acting. I'd grown up in theater. My mom was in theater growing up. She and I actually played the same part in our plays senior year of high school.
Whoa.
Crazy coincidence, but it was called Once Upon a Mattress, which is
yes,
Princess and the
that's
Pea.
The first play I ever
yeah.
saw.
We both played Princess Winifred at the same
wow.
age.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But also my mom is a seamstress, is like on the side. She's
awesome.
Always really good at that. She makes all the cat bandanas and dog bow ties that I sell at my shows.
Oh,
that's
my.
The only merch I sell. And
what's the story
behind
look
at
that?
Brad, it's like
no,
his head is exploding right
now. Well, because
now.
I saw in your bio, like my mom makes everything for catbandana.com, and I thought,
I'm heir to catbandana.com.
Oh, that's a funny joke, Sarah. And now it's like, oh shit,
no,
that's real.
No, it's yeah. real.
Oh,
yeah.
wow. Wow. Okay.
So growing up,
this changes everything.
I know. It's pretty cute. But growing up, my mom would make all the costumes for the plays, and my dad would build all the sets. So it was very like
our
whole family
thing.
Was very yeah. involved.
That's
yeah.
fantastic. So they were definitely supportive then of you
yeah.
coming out to LA. There was never like you stay here in Georgia and take over the Pepperidge Farm cookie empire that I have built for you.
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. Like. No, they were always really, really supportive to a fault, actually. Like, I wish they would have been like, don't do that. That's stupid.
Well, but then...
But they never did. They were just always... You know, they'd be more worried than anything. They were never, you know, nervous that, like, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to make it or something. They always had the utmost faith in me. And you know, my parents also raised me... Like, they never really told me what religion they were. They never told me what political background. They didn't want to influence mm-hmm. me whatsoever. So they were like, you're a smart girl. You can figure it out. And so I did. So they always just treated me like I was extremely smart. So if I made a decision, they were like, you're right, that's a smart decision. Go with it.
Wow.
That is,
yeah.
I mean...
I know.
I guess you just, you know, I think Brad and I both shared a similar backstory, but like, I know a lot of people that did not, that basically got like, you're going to do what? Fucking
right.
good luck.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
Oh, yeah. So many people in my hometown were like that. I mean, to this day, they still don't know why I'm out here. They'd be like, you know, there's lots of work in Atlanta. They feel Walking Dead here. And I'm like, I don't want... I mean, okay.
Yeah, it could be
a still
zombie.
Cast it here.
Yeah. They fly people from here to Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's what, unless you just want to be a zombie.
I mean, growing up, like, people would be like, Sarah, you're such a great actress. You'd make a great dental hygienist. Like, just like the idea of pursuing that.
Because so, you can't actually do that as a
right,
job.
Right, not
but
as a job.
But let's pick something where your cheery nature mm-hmm. can come in handy. So,
yeah,
dental
no.
hygienist.
Yep, that makes sense. Like, those are real personable, funny people. And because of that, I didn't go into college thinking that I was going to be an actress. Like, I went
oh,
into
really?
Journalism thinking I would go to CNN.
Wow, so you're writing a lot.
I mean,
is that where that started the
kind of like then I realized that you had to write the news and I was like, oh,
boo,
this is so boring.
Boring, right?
Yeah.
And then would
you try to make it funny though? Would you like
well, yeah,
make serious stories?
Because
that was my problem when I wrote for the high school mm-hmm. newspaper. They'd give me serious stories and I would like always take a comedic spin on them. They were like, hey man, a kid
yeah.
got hit by a car.
Yeah.
It's like, the star
yeah,
football player. Nothing
yeah, but,
funny about that. I was like, yeah, but I...
But it
saying,
was a neon. It
yeah,
was a...
Yeah.
yeah. And the fact that a Dodge Neon broke an offensive lineman's leg,
yeah.
that's pretty impressive for
that's,
the neon.
Yeah, yeah, making a joke how his friends were terrible blockers,
right.
you know,
we
or
should
whatever.
Maybe start the
yeah.
neon.
yeah. Instead of him.
Oh, my God. That's... Yeah, you're so quick. That's why... Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, I would make tons of jokes about the news and then... They were like, you cannot do that. It's a serious thing. And I was like, well, then it's boring. And I
2 year old baby
it.
Killed in a fire. Well, cheaper than an abortion. Yeah. And to you, Ken. Yeah. You're like, what?
Back to you.
No.
And to you, Ken? Like he's blessing him?
I don't know. I don't watch the news. I'm a kid.
Yeah. So they told me to do entertainment news. And then that's when I found out I could major, that I should go into film, because mm-hmm. that was more to do with Hollywood and entertainment. And then because of that, I could minor in theater. And that's kind of how I started really thinking about becoming an actress.
And the rush of the stage, at least, and I'm, I assume it was the same.
For, yeah.
I mean, it made you eventually want to think about stand-up, right?
Well, also, when not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, but when I started stand-up, I wasn't nervous because I was on stage yep. my whole mm-hmm. life, so...
Yeah, just one more thing.
It just was like, oh, now I'm up here by myself.
Great.
I don't have to give credit to anybody.
Perfect.
But also, if I fail, it's all my fault. Yeah. And like, I'm the one that, you know, and I was always really good at blaming myself.
When
self-deprecating.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes you a great comic.
Yeah.
When you come out to Los Angeles to be an actress, like, where do you start? Like, because people don't know. Like, there's not just some building you go to. It's like, here's where you go to become an actor. Or, like, right. it's not... there's no job placement program.
There's no Ted Danson School of Acting.
Yeah, I mean,
at least not with that attitude. But
Ted Danson, there should be.
Hey, if you're listening.
I mean,
have you seen The Good Place? It's fantastic.
Well, is it? I loved him on CSI. But
nice,
yeah, he's
Becker.
So good.
Cheers.
Oh, come on.
I mean, and
Curb. I mean, talk, dude.
Yeah,
he's such
a good actor.
He might be. And this is a Ted Danson tangent. Which,
and
by the way,
welcome back to TED Talk. Yeah, it's not the actual TED Talk where we inspire you to be great. No, we just talk about Ted Danson.
We're in a Danson tangent. Say that 10 times fast. Now, that is, yeah. But like there are, well, I mean, look, just real quick, there are a lot of people like that that we don't think about that you're like, oh, you've worked the whole time you've been here.
Oh, well, that's like my dream,
and
just to have a consistent job.
Totally. Yeah. To piggyback on that, I think we get out here and you think of people like that and you go, oh, cool. Like, you don't have to be Will Smith famous to work. You can be dancing famous.
Right. Yeah, I mean, honestly,
you take classes. What was the first move that was
the first thing
I'm in the biz.
I did was go to Central Casting and start doing extra work.
Yep.
I knew I had to get a SAG card.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. that was the quickest way to do that from what I could gather. And just being on sets, I wanted to be able to learn a little bit more.
Good
and
move.
Then, I definitely took acting classes. I couldn't really afford that much. And then I just started really slacking on the acting classes front. To mm-hmm. where I was like, I don't really feel like I'm learning anything.
What was turning
here.
You off from it? Because I, you know, did them after acting school. I see I did them for maybe 8 years straight. Mm-hmm. And then finally was just like, all right, I'm going to do private coaching if I have something really important. But also yeah. it was just like, I felt myself wanting to, I felt like I was locked in a room for 5 hours. And it was like some of the people around me were inspiring. And then some of them were just like dead weights that weren't right. trying and were coming in with like extra baggage. It was like, not, like, you know, where it'd be like, you know, I'm sure you can attest to this, where somebody would be like, the teacher would be like, hey, so, Rachel, how much time did you work on the scene this week? And she's like, I mean, I didn't have much time. I mean, and everyone's like, oh, shit.
That's
and
then
she's like, my cat went sick all week.
Oh,
and same God. Thing on the dude side. It would be like, oh, my friend Ben and Chris came in town and like, we party hard. And like, I looked at it, but I didn't look at it. And then it was just yeah. like, dude, what can...
Now,
waste of time city.
Yeah, I felt like, A, there were a lot of people who were just terrible
yeah.
that you had to do scenes with, which was really difficult.
Because those some of these studios need money. They're like, fuck it, man, you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I felt like, you know, I always got, the teachers always really loved me in my classes.
Of course they did.
But the people who were terrible, like, they were the ones that booked everything. So I was like, what? I mean, I hate this. Like, it, you know, that's why I think I ended up getting so into sports, because it became this constant in my life that was fair, to where I was like,
yeah.
oh, there's a winner and a loser based on merit.
Yeah,
and
that's one of the great things about sports, is that no one is on a team because of who their father is
right.
or because of like, oh, well, he donated a lot of money to a program. It's like, no, you're just the best player.
Right.
And that's it.
Everything is based on merit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just felt like it just became very difficult. You know, like I felt like this, you know, this business is a lot like the royal family. Like, it's very rare for a commoner to get in. And you realize that so many people who are working, even if it's not their dad who's a director, it's like their dad was like a production supervisor on this show. They know
sure.
everybody.
Yeah,
it's an
yeah.
ancestral business.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I didn't have anybody like that. And I just needed an outlet you know, some way of performing, and I was DJing like weddings and bar mitzvahs.
What was your DJ name?
Oh, no. I wasn't like cool. Like it was like a, you know, like I'm just pushing play on the CD player, okay. And I'm like teaching like the electric slide. Like,
by the way,
kind of play.
So you said that like stuff. A father, Brad, who was like finding out his daughter was doing it. Was like, DJ? What's your DJ name? It better be a cool one.
Well, I was open for like DJ Sarah Tizzle or something like that.
Sarah Tizzle.
Sure. No. On the ones and the twos.
On the ones and twos. Yeah, no.
That's what I was hoping for.
I was just a big number two.
How?
I was all number two.
You're such a gunslinger, by the way. With jokes. How? Explain the bar mitzvah culture, and then I will piggyback on it. But like Brad, unfortunately, has seen
two,
and that's not enough.
Didn't have a lot of Jewish friends.
If I'm speaking as a Jew, that's not enough.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't know anything about it when I first started.
And did you go to like? And there's a difference between a bar mitzvah and a bar mitzvah with rich Jews who. Who get fucking food trucks and have it at the Staples Center.
Beverly Hills Hotel.
I mean, you know, they're like, Prince is playing during the hors d'oeuvres, but really show up because the Stones are doing the appetizers. So you're like, what the fuck?
It's insane. It's like everybody trying to one-up each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it became very frustrating because when the kids would do terrible things, like I think one kid one time like set something on fire in the lobby.
Yeah,
and
did.
Like the mother yelled at me and I was like, I'm the DJ. I'm not the babysitter.
You're like, look, I'm trying to light this place on fire, but with my tunes and my swagger, not the fucking...
Hello.
Hello.
I'm playing Getting Jiggy With It.
Yeah.
That's about as hot as it's going to get you.
How are you blaming me? I literally just hit the button on 50 Cent. That's it.
I have no idea what's going on. I barely can keep it together back behind my little CD station.
And were these horny little Jew boys, were they were they hitting on you?
No, not in the tuxedo outfit that I was in.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, the tuxedo shirt with the vest that you have buttoned
please.
Up. Yes. With the black pants.
Oh,
and
I bet you rocked it.
No. Oh my God, no. I actually look younger now than I did back then. I've looked at pictures back then. I'm like, oh dear. Oh no. There's actually this video. I think a friend of mine found it. It was like the second week that I was here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he got tickets to the Tonight Show. So we both went and sat in the audience and they picked me out to like ask me a question. Now, I thought it was because I was so cute. And then I looked back and
he was like, that was a nice tuxedo shirt you got. You know DJ Bar Mitzvah, do you? Are you DJ Theron Tinsel I've heard about? No, you should be. We'll be right back with the Google Dolls.
Oh, my God. I mean, I have.
Are these pictures online, please?
There's a video. Yeah, I'll try to repost it when you guys post it.
Yes,
but, like, I mean, I have khaki pants pulled up well above my belly button. And then I have on a white, like, kind of see-through shirt, but I have it tied in a knot around
slower.
The belt because that is cool.
Bradley.
Sorry. Wait, am I not supposed to take my pants off? Sorry.
Wait, who told
my
you
mom's
to do this?
Listening, remember? Yes.
Oh, that's right. I mean,
she's very
you look very professional, intelligent, and attractive now in that order.
Jesus, you're about to be a husband.
I am.
And then I had on a blue jean jacket over that.
So far, I'm waiting for what's wrong with this outfit.
Right.
It's like way too big, right? Because I got it on sale. And
so, how many, by the way, oversized coats have been purchased because you're like, it was affordable?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Oh, my gosh. And so he comes and asks me a question, and he's like, what's your name? What do you do? And I was like, oh, my name's Sarah, and I just moved here a week ago to be an actress.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, oh, Sarah, you know that normally takes 2 to 3 weeks. And I was like, well, I heard that. Like,
shut the fuck up, Jay Leno.
Country. Oh, my God. It's so embarrassing. And then I'm like, God, I looked so old.
And how many calls did you get because of that television appearance? What did it lead to?
Nothing. Exactly. But actually, Jay Leno was so nice. He told me afterwards, he's like, you're already on The Tonight Show. You're going to be famous in no time. Just stick with it. And I was like, oh.
You know what?
He didn't have to say that.
He didn't. Yeah. And did you take that to heart a little bit?
I did. And I met him again a couple years ago. And I told him that story. And
no
he's like,
way.
So what are you and how are you doing now? I said, well, now I'm a stand-up and I work at it for a living.
All the time.
And he goes, I'm taking all the credit for that.
Oh,
said,
my God.
Yeah. All right. Well, shout out to Jay Leno then.
Yeah.
Because
I was just going to ask, did it come full circle? That's so...
It came full circle. I actually met him at a party that Craig Ferguson was having. Like, sometimes you don't feel like those late night guys are ever friends, but I guess they are.
They are, right?
Well, once they get out of it and they're no longer competing against each other.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny because you are so naive and delusional, which we've talked about many times on this podcast, that you mm-hmm. just have to be when you get out of here, because you can't even think about a backup plan or no. not going full balls to the wall. So for no. him to say that,
yeah.
you're walking away being like, Jay Leno told me he I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And he meant it.
He meant
and
it.
And I took it.
He saw something in me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I definitely had, you know, they say it really, I think if you move to Los Angeles, if anybody's listening, if you can just make it past 3 years, you're going to be fine.
Totally.
But I, about 2.5 years in, I was like, done. And I had just started stand up. I hadn't really mm-hmm. done it that much. And I called my mom and I was like, I'm moving to Wilmington, North Carolina. And of course, she's like, okay, whatever you want. And I started like packing up my bag. I was like, forget this. I hate it. And then I was like tired from packing, and I went to see a movie, and the movie wasn't playing, but comedian Jerry Seinfeld's movie was playing. And I was like, oh, I've done a couple stand-up things, and I always liked his show. I'll just go watch that. And literally everyone in the movie is laughing, and I am crying. And I was like, I have to stay. Like, this is a sign. And I went home, and I unpacked, and I said, I'm going to do stand-up every day starting now. Every night, because at the time I had been doing it like every month.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so the next day I went out and I started doing it every night, and then I mean, here I am. now I'm on your podcast.
Can I ask what?
and this is where your career peaks, Sarah.
I'd be great. That'd be great. If that was.
What? Wait. Can I ask why you were crying? Because I also got very choked up during that movie because I saw it early on, and it was at a time when I was like very scared to. Yeah. Jump fully in because I knew what it required. Everybody when they start stand up, they know what it takes. Like, I'd say, I don't know, 2-3 months in, you just get a sense of like, oh, I'm not doing enough.
Right.
And then when you see it in that movie and you're like, oh, those guys are struggling, it's just right. so yeah. overwhelming.
I think that's what it was. And I think, I mean, I'm getting like choked up just thinking about yep. it. But I think I was just like so down on myself thinking that I was. And I think I still get this way when you always feel like you're supposed to be so much further than yes. you are, because you constantly compare yourself to everyone that's your age.
Yep.
And then I look at people who are 10 years older than me and I'm like, well, what were they doing 10 years ago? I never even heard of them 10
yep.
years
right.
ago.
Yep.
And, you know, you think, oh, my God. You know, so then I constantly feel like this business is literally talking yourself down off a ledge, you know, all yeah. the time.
That is a great way to look at it. And yeah. it's like, you. I mean, and getting so self-assured with yourself and comparing yourself, but maybe comparing it to yourself. So it's like, oh, where was I 10 years ago?
Right.
And then you go, oh shit, look how far I've come. And right. we brush past that so quickly because we're constantly looking forward instead of back, mm-hmm. which is good yeah. and healthy, but like you gotta check in and be like, dude, yeah. you were doing bars.
Yeah.
Now you're on Comedy Central on a fucking millions of people audience touring the country,
yeah.
roasting Big Poppy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
yeah.
dream come true.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, it is insane. Like, to think about, like, if I just look back on the last 2 years of my life, I think 10 years ago, I would have
loved.
Died to have been where I am now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that I'm here, I'm like, ugh. How come I'm not doing this? Because as a comic, you're like, you don't want just a job. You want no. all the jobs.
All the
I
jobs.
Want all the jobs.
Yeah.
yeah.
I want the job you just came from. I
yeah.
want the job you're going to.
Yeah.
I want
wedding
all
planner.
Of them.
Yeah.
I want all of them. I don't care.
Yeah.
If I'm not considered for it, I feel like a failure.
Right.
And it's. I think that that's also the sign of being a good comic, where you're
totally.
Like, I'm never satisfied.
Yes.
I'm never. And also, no matter what level you climb to, you're always the beginner at that level. So, like, I would took a big step this year in my touring. I've been on the road literally since November. It's mm-hmm. exhausting. It's depressing.
Yep.
I've never been sadder in my life, but I and happy at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, can't, like,
it's a really, because you have those moments where you have a great show and you're like, oh, this is why I'm doing this. But then Sunday, when you're literally just waiting for the show to happen, so then you can fly home on Monday, you're second guessing every decision
like,
that ever led you to that moment.
Yeah. And wow. I'm new on the road.
Right.
So I'm getting the new rate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anybody showing up at the shows, so I constantly feel like it's my fault for not selling the tickets.
Get past that real quick.
Right. But how can it doesn't matter. Like, if there were two seats empty, I'd be like, what did I do? What did I do? You know, like, it just,
and again, it's that healthy balance of like,
yeah.
like not being satisfied, so that you're constantly pushing yourself and expecting more out of yourself, but
right.
also not so much that you crush the enjoyment of any of the success.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like every once in a while I have to just really, I have to take a week off or 2 weeks sometimes
mm-hmm.
and just not do it at all. and I have to kind of reevaluate. It's like I did this probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I was really stressed out about money constantly, and I was still waiting tables. So this was probably 7 years ago.
Waiting tables where?
At the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that where Sebastian?
Good spots away at tables.
Four Seasons. But I worked at him with him at the Four Seasons too. Yeah, wow. I used to work there before. But
I bet you were amazing.
I was really good.
You're one of the greatest people person.
Now starting forward for the people people.
It was really some of my best acting work I've ever done.
That's amazing.
I would love to get that for you. Absolutely. Oh, it's no problem. No problem.
Oh my God. Oh, and that Southern twang.
Very good.
Is your chicken not at the right temperature? Ah, that's no problem at all. We'll fix that for you.
Oh, you want In-N-Out and this is a hotel? I'll take care of it.
Like, oh my God.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But I think I was like just so stressed out about money, and I was constantly thinking about it. And I was like, well, then I had to break it down. I'm like, well, what am I really scared of? What is it really? I'm like, what I'm really nervous about is having to ask for help. Mm-hmm. What I'm really nervous about is having to ask somebody to give me a loan or give me money because I don't have any, which is admitting failure. But if I knew somebody that needed money and they didn't ask me, I would be devastated. Then I had to realize that I was, and also me thinking about money so much was clogging up my brain from thinking of jokes. So when you're thinking about, when you're stressing about, every time I'm stressing about something, I go, this is just taking up joke writing time. This is just like a
good switch.
It's just clogging up my airwaves.
Yeah.
So, 'cause then I'm not paying attention to other things that I could be paying attention to, which would in turn make me think of something funny.
Did you come to this conclusion on your own? Because this is like self-therapy.
Yeah,
like you said, on your own damn couch.
Yeah,
and figure that out.
Yeah, I definitely had to think about it myself, because you really just kind of strip everything down. I mean, that's our job as comic, right? We ask as many questions. We ask too many questions. So what I try to do is turn that on to myself and go, well, why are you feeling this way? What's the real reason that you're, what's underneath that?
And then that's when the real greatness comes out, right? Don't you?
Because
then you start asking questions like, oh, I don't want to answer that, or I don't want to know the answer to that. And then all of a sudden you're like, and then you get to it and you're like, and you feel a little easy, and then you do it on stage in front of people, and they're like, I think that too. And you're like, I'm Chappelle.
Yeah. Well, what you have to realize is like the answer's really not that scary.
No.
Like we make everything so much scarier because we build it up in our mind and we don't let it go. And then once you do let it go, you're like, no, it doesn't really, I'm not going to give this thing power, because that's just taking away power from joke writing.
There'll be mornings that I'll tell myself, you can't do 55 minutes on the Stairmaster. And then I'll do 56 and I go, you see?
See?
Ask it of yourself. Can you?
Is this the Stairmaster that's sitting right there?
Yeah, no, it's the
facing
other one.
The wall?
Yeah. By the way, I do put it in front of the TV, and that's the one time when I try to like watch any show.
Oh.
Because Sebastian many people have made jokes. Sebastian first, he goes, I like he goes, you Mariners fan? I go, yeah. He goes, do you gotta just stare at the fucking stadium? Because, you know, the stepper's like facing, literally right.
Facing a picture.
Yeah, it seems a little obsessive. But speaking of baseball, and there's, are you good for another, by the way, like 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah, whatever y'all need. Yeah.
So the roast of Big Poppy, I want to talk about.
Right.
Before we forget, because that, to me, was one of my greatest experiences of my career.
Really? Okay, good. Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was definitely a highlight.
As far as like the total package of like, And probably more so for me, because I've never done a roast, so there was a lot more like nerves going in. But I want to hear
from
a veteran who is considered one of the best in that game. What was your prep for like it? What were you? I know you've done a lot of sports stuff before. Mm-hmm. People should know this too about you. You're like,
you're a legit sports fan.
Not the
girl that says, oh yeah, football's good. Tony Romo, he's still playing, right? Like
the type of sports fan that like dudes want their girl to be. Like,
yeah.
You are.
Right.
You know? Like,
you
not
crush guys at the bar when they start talking shit. You're like, no, what they really need to do is switch to the 4-3 defense. But like, you just start breaking down. They're like, oh, I just yelled out, hit him harder.
Yeah.
But also, you're so sweet. And it's like, I can't imagine you like breaking a bottle and throwing it at a TV. But maybe I need to watch a game with you and Sue. I don't know.
yeah, right? Oh, man, no. My mom definitely would not break a bottle.
Your love for sports started way...
Yeah, it started young. We've always been a sports family. I mean, my grandmother, my mom's mom, she's 92. She just stopped working for the Oakland A's like 5 years ago.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
Way. She literally Oakland
doing
A's.
Doing what? Peanuts?
She batted cleanup.
Yeah.
She was Yonder Alonso.
She's from the Dominican. Very tan.
You never know how old they are.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of them are older than they think.
God. Robinson Cano is 116.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you told me, too, that you go to the games with the scorecards, and you do, right?
I go by myself a lot. Yeah, man, especially on the road, I do, you know, because I don't really have a choice on the road. But
I do that at movies with a scorecard. I'd be like, how many like kisses did Gosling do to Rachel McAdams? Or, like, you know, four jerk-offable moments, you know, in the first two scenes.
He keeps amazing stats.
That's going to be really, that's going
to
come in handy.
I'm going to pass it down to my kids.
Sure.
Or my nieces. Wait, so what was the, but football is your...
Yeah, football my number one. Yeah. Just to answer your question, my grandmother always gave out the free stuff at the gate. And then she had season tickets, so she would go and sit.
Okay,
so she's the one who taught me to keep score.
Those are some of my favorite people in the world, because they're the greeters. They're like, they're the first thing you see and hear at the game.
And they're the people who go, you can't have this because it's for kids. And you're like, oh, no, like, I want a backpack.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I had Lucky Charms this morning. I'm still a kid.
I'm like, yeah, bitch, but it fits me.
Hello?
I can totally, I can totally get the jacket.
Do you not get away with that more?
Oh, yeah. I totally do.
Okay, I was going to say. Like,
can I just get an extra bat for my brother?
Tug on their
As long as I shave the beard, I'm good.
Brad, like, I might have to bring you to, next time there's some sort of Mariner bobblehead giveaway
at
Angel Stadium. And if we show up a little late.
Yeah.
It's like driving in the carpool lane with somebody.
Yeah.
Like you show up with a dwarf and you can always make sure they go, oh, did you skip out? And I go, don't worry, son. And you just pull on some amazing, real worthy acting. And you just go, oh, we drove all this way, traffic. Nobody could have anticipated all that five traffic. It's all right, Bradley. I guess we'll just come back next year and get a Mike Trout fucking trout fish or whatever they're giving away.
Mike Trout fish?
I don't know.
It's a trout game in a while. Trout fish night at the ballpark.
Yeah, everybody gets a live trout.
Everybody gets a live trout.
Hey, look, if you want me in promotions, I'm available.
Yeah.
Well, when I was growing up, they would give away, at Oakland Coliseum, my mom probably still has it under her bed, but we got like Mark McGwire bats, like full size
bats. Yeah, his bats.
No, the little ones. Bats. A full size.
Holy shit.
At Oakland Coliseum.
Right. Like, dangerous. Well, this is also how you get your car back at the end of the night. Fight off 47 gang members.
Get your car back with the bat we gave you night.
Yeah.
It's fend for yourself night.
Fend for yourself night.
That's when the umpire calls the Oakland A's player out, and then like just the PA announcer just goes, just to remind the umpire, it's bat night. Every single A's fan in the stadium has a bat on them right now, and umpire parking is in left field. Okay, go for it.
Has the joke ever been like, has anybody ever showed up, do you think, like, who's not a big sports fan and maybe been like, wait, where's the bat? Like, an actual bat. Like, is that ever...
I brought this to get signed.
Yeah, but like an actual bat, like a flying bat. Has anybody ever made that mistake? And I'm joking. It sounds like it's a completely ridiculous question, but I'm like, some people go to games for the first time, you know?
Like vampires?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of...
I wanted my cousin.
That's a funny sketch. Actually, that seems like one of the like videos, the promotional videos for the season where it's like, and make sure you get there early so you get your promotional giveaway, and a vampire shows up and he's like, I want my free bat. And they go, we're all out, sir. And then he's like, I'll go to the transfer.
Oh, right. Tonight's mirror night. Oh, crap.
Mirror night!
I messed up.
Oh, my
it's
God.
A UV ray gun night here. It's like, no!
It's onion and steak night.
Remember when we were at Fenway after the Poppy Roast and we were listening to the person play the organ overboard, and we came up with that whole sketch with like the organ player ever just like start playing a little of his own music.
Yeah. Oh my God. Where he just is like, I've been working on this new piece. This is a great time.
This is for my mixtape.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But instead of like, like the dun 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 dun, he's like boom, dun 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 dun, dun, and he starts singing a little
bit.
You know
what, Chuck, go for it.
Yeah. This is your moment.
No one's here anyway.
That was we went to the game and we sat in a box for Poppy's jersey retirement game.
Yeah.
Which was after the roast. Which, I mean, also an amazing thing to be at, because those, I mean, the jersey retirement game, I mean, I went to Griffey's, I was telling you, it was like super emotional and just, you can feel even the energy for the Fenway fans. They're like, oh man, this guy was arguably one of the greatest Red Sox of all time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
As a, as I think Burr was even attesting to. But so as a sports fan, to get to, I don't know, meet the other people. So you, Bill Burr, Josh Wolf, Anthony Mackie, Rob Gronkowski, Dustin Pedroia,
Lenny Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you.
Is that it? And John the Coachman from SportsCenter hosting.
Yeah, he was hosting, yeah.
I mean, I was very starstruck. I mean, and then it kind of went away when you're like, you did a titty fucking shit,
a poop joke.
A poop joke right out of the gate. Oh, you're just like me, man.
Yeah. This guy.
Yeah, this guy.
He's one of us.
Yeah. But that, were you intimidated by the, I don't know, size of the event? Or what about it? Just, I guess, take me through your...
No, but I wish that Catherine Veritek had not given me a drink. Because she gave me this huge drink, and then she was like, yeah, let's go. Like, and I'm like, yeah, cool. This is like Jason Veritek's wife. Like, we're hanging out. And yeah, I had
Tim
not
Wakefield
eaten.
Was there?
Yeah, I had not eaten dinner, and it just hit me real fast. And I don't really remember a whole lot about
before you went on?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's, could you read your notes, or did you have
it memorized?
It
was on a teleprompter, okay. So thank goodness.
Yeah, just because, like, big, bright letters, like, oh, thank God.
But I think it was just like, I mean, when I am a little intoxicated, I don't slur. I just get real southern and slow.
Yeah.
and it was like, I mean, I've saw a couple tapes. It's like Old South, like governor, like that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, we're like, I don't think I've ever talked like that.
Some of the black players were offended. They're like, whoa.
No, it was real. I will say this. Well, you crushed. I mean, by far the best jokes of the night. And you still, there was a moment when, like, you know, I've seen you handle your booze, and so I wasn't worried, but there was a moment where, like, I looked over and you kind of, you said something to me. You said something about like a joke. It was like a comment on a joke. And then literally about 12 seconds later, you turned and Groundhog Day'd it and said the exact same thing. And I went, oh no. And you were about to go up. And I was like, okay, well, now I'm going to be watching with an extra set of eyes. And you were like so composed. There was a few moments where even to comment on like people like groans of at a joke that was just too good that they couldn't even like, mm-hmm. they're like, we're supposed to not like this collectively. Right. And then you commented on that.
Yeah, I'd be like articulately. Fuck you, Boston, yeah, racist yeah, piece yeah, of shit. Yeah.
Like, and that hurts coming from someone from Georgia.
Yeah.
And when someone from Georgia is like, you got to get your ass
yeah,
your
when
act
I was
together
like,
on racism.
All right, y'all need to calm down.
Now, like, how did you get even into like the roast game? Like, because that's now it's become such a huge part of your skill set, whether it be roast battle, whether it be you wrote on the Rob Lowe roast, mm-hmm. whether it be this Big Poppy roast. Like, mm-hmm. now that's kind of what you're known for. Like, how did you even get into it?
Oh, man. I was running rooms here in LA, mm-hmm. and Jeff Ross would come in to work out the roast jokes. And I thought that they were like cool or whatever. And, I really liked him. I thought they were so funny. And then I saw him at a birthday party, and I said, we were just talking, and I said, what's the next roast you're doing? And he said, Quentin Tarantino. It's like this charity thing again. And mm-hmm. I said, what's your email? And he gave it to me, and I literally just sent him jokes every day until he couldn't ignore me. And then, like, not really thinking that it would really lead anywhere, but I was just like, I really like writing jokes. And at the time, I had stopped writing jokes. I had previously written a bunch of jokes because I'm also big into country music. So mm-hmm. I had met this guy, John Rich, from Big and Rich, and I had met him at the Four Seasons when I was working there. Mm-hmm. And he heard my accent. He's like, where are you from? And I was like, I'm from Georgia. And he's like, are you an actress? And I said, I'm a comedian. And he goes, oh, I love comedy. And I said, I know you ordered a Chardonnay. Yeah. And then he just loved me. He's like, so then he like got in touch with me after he saw some of my stuff and was like, can you write jokes about country music artists? And I was like, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's,
and I had no,
that's ripe for parody.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I sent him a joke every day for 6 months so that he would not forget me.
Wow.
And then he brought me to Nashville to tell all those jokes at his birthday party, not realizing that I was roasting at that time. So looking,
you just were like, oh, I'm doing...
I bombed so hard.
Really?
Like, so hard. Because I had the jokes, but I didn't have the confidence behind it.
Yeah.
Which is half of the joke telling.
Absolutely.
In roasting.
It is, right?
Yeah, because you can't be timid about it, because you're about to insult someone to their face.
To their face,
so you can't just be like, hey, so you're so you're so old. Yeah. Like, you can't, you have to just own it. And that takes a while to get comfortable doing
that. Yeah, and you also have to know how to, like, start slow and build up, you know, and then also craft them in such a clever way that they're going to appreciate them just as much as they're going to hate them.
Yeah.
I need a new project. And so, yeah, I sent Jeff Ross jokes every day, all day, until he was just like, okay, you can come to my house and write with me. And then he just really liked everything, you know. He's like, I don't know how to repay you. And I was like, you don't have to pay me for anything, just like refer me for something or remember me if you need an opener or whatever it is, like, I don't care what it is. And
he's good about that.
Yeah And then he did, he got his TV show like probably 6 months after that,
The Burn.
And then,
yeah,
The Burn. And then he hired me as a writer on the pilot, and then I did good, and then when it got picked up, I got to write on that, and then here we are.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you just don't stop. Like, I just won't take no for an answer.
That's just like, that's really good advice. And now when you when you're sitting down to write a roast joke, do you have a routine? Do you have tips that kind of help you, like cuz it's a different skill than stand up. It's not the same thing at all. So I'm just curious, like, how maybe your process differs from when you're writing stuff for your own act.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I do a lot of research on that person. So most of the jokes come from the research that you do, which is also why I won't just roast anybody. Like, when people ask me to roast battle someone in the belly room, I would just be like, well, I don't like anybody enough to do that kind of research and spend that kind of time, because I take a long time. It takes me a long time.
Yeah,
I work really hard, and I'm not just going to do that for somebody that I don't respect.
Right.
Because I want you to like my jokes so much that you want to use them in your act.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm trying to impress you just as much as I'm trying to embarrass you.
No, but and then that just shows how good you are at this, because you do accomplish that.
Right. I mean, thank you. I hope so, because that's my goal. And but yeah, and then if I get stuck, I'll go back and I'll look at jokes about, like, so when I was writing jokes for the Big Poppy Roast, I had written jokes the year before for
was it the Robert Lowe Roast, or
no, it was for another
ESPYs.
Yeah, I will look at ESPY's jokes, but then I did another baseball roast that we wrote a bunch of stuff for the year before, when the All-Star Game was in San Diego. And so I had written, you know, so I was just looking up like those. So then I'll look at those jokes, and then a lot of comedy writing is just rewriting. So I'll just switch things around and reuse them, or tell them in a different way, add a different punchline, add a different set of circumstances.
Sure. And 'cause it's not that roast jokes are formulaic, but there is some sort of you can see certain patterns, and especially when it's on the same topic, you're like, oh, okay, well, I in this joke I compared a bat to a dildo, and okay, I can do that again.
Like, there's gotta be stakes, you know what I mean? Gotta be stakes. Like, I remember this is my favorite joke that I ever wrote for Jeff that didn't get used in the James Franco roast. It got told.
You did that one?
Yes, I wrote on that.
Wow,
yeah.
That was a great one.
Thank you. So he, Jeff told it, but it got cut out, and it was James Franco, you're an insult to Italian actors everywhere. James Gandolfini must be trying to roll over in his grave right now. And it was like right after Gandolfini died, so that means the stakes are high, right? Because it's a sensitive issue.
Yeah.
Death is always high stakes.
Sure.
Just like race and stuff like that. Like, now this last roast, when I was working with Peyton, so I worked with Peyton specifically because I was the only writer in the room that knew anything about football.
How was that?
Amazing. Thank God. Like, they say, don't meet your heroes. And I was really nervous because I was like, man, I really like him. Like,
what if he doesn't like what I pitch at all, right? Or were you not even worried about that?
I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about him being a jerk or something.
Sure.
But no, he was amazing and such a pro. Like, so good.
Was he eating Papa John's the whole time?
No.
All right.
I know.
Well, I mean, bummer. He is a Denver Broncos quarterback, and those are pretty much the best people on the planet.
Oh,
so.
Is that right?
When I saw Papa John on the field during that Super Bowl, I've never been more angry at anything in my entire life.
Yeah.
Can I just I know you were just so happy that you were probably like, he should be there.
Yeah.
Like, you have all your friends.
Give him whatever he wants. Yeah. Give him unlimited Papa
John. But that was just, to me, like, a little too much. It's like, dude, and I want to believe that Peyton. And sorry for the dancing tangent, but I want to believe that Peyton is like didn't have anything to do with that. That Papa John was like got his own pass,
right.
Or actually Peyton probably gave him a ticket in a section, not even the suite. He was like, "I got your own little pizza section."
Just weaseled his way down.
Yeah, dude. He was like, and on his way, he like took away more like health insurance from his employees and like piece of shit. Anyway, so he was great though.
Yeah, he was great. But what I was saying about the stakes and the joke writing is that Peyton really wanted to talk about. Like the finale of his jokes was about how Rob Lowe had tweeted that he was retiring from the Indianapolis Colts before he had announced his retirement. And we were all like, nobody cares about that except for Peyton Manning, right? He's the only person. Like,
right.
Nobody else is like, it
was high stakes
upset.
For him.
No one else is mad. Like, even Colts fans were just like, what? It's Rob Lowe. Nobody's paying attention to him, you know? But so we had to really work hard to like craft that in a way that the stakes were felt higher than they were. And I think also Peyton delivering it made the stakes come up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that was a real work of art, that finale.
Now, is it harder when you're writing obviously for like athletes because they're not used to delivering jokes? I mean, has there been athletes that have delivered like really good jokes that you've written and you're like, no, that's not how you do it, that's a good joke?
I mean, not really.
No?
I mean, only because usually athletes that are gonna even sign on to do something like that are pretty comfortable
hopefully
in their skin.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you have to have thick skin, you have to be able to take the joke as well. And that's like when we did the Poppy roast, like everyone, there was a lot of backlash about Gronk, you know, and all the jokes that he told. And I'm like, but it's not like we didn't get to tell jokes about him.
Yeah,
we all made fun of him, you know, and everyone was outraged about the jokes about black people and Jewish people. And I'm like, he called me a whore for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's
and
pretty
my
bad.
List of sexual encounters is like Dustin Pedroia. It's incredibly embarrassingly short. And you know, like,
I'm glad you used Dustin Pedroia, not me. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But yeah, so I mean, I'm like, how come no one's upset about that?
I
mean,
know,
they're
right?
Just lazy,
just clickbait,
easy jokes.
Right?
That, and it's like,
it is clickbait.
Yeah.
That's why they went
and it's
after
a roast. Like anything in a roast, I don't think you could be like, you can't say something in a roast in my opinion is racist or homophobic or sexist or anything like that, because it's a roast. You're trying to do that. Now you may fail. But you're trying to do that.
Well, also, like, when I'm trying to make a joke. And also, like, I had this discussion with another comment about racist jokes and anti-Semitic jokes. And I was like, you know, I feel like there's a difference between a racist statement and something that's racial, you know? I feel like the idea, when people call it a racist joke, I'm like, it's not a racist joke, because what you're straddling the line of racism. What you're saying is like, this sounds racist, but it's not, because clearly I'm taking a left turn, or I'm making fun of how ridiculous racist people sound.
Yes,
right.
That's the joke.
Yes.
Yeah. The joke is not what I said about, you know, Jewish people or black people. The joke is that you thought I was going to say this, and that is what makes it the joke, because I went
misdirection
almost there and I didn't.
Yeah, and there's something way different than doing a joke at a roast, rather than you're on stage going, what's the deal with airline food? Oh, by the way, kill all the Jews. Like it's like, whoa, that...
I'm not masking statements. And also, like, if you are a racist person or an anti-Semitic person, you don't make jokes about that kind of stuff.
No, because you're worried people will find out.
Yeah.
You're like, they can't know.
No, I think it's like, it implies that I'm racist, or it implies that I'm anti-Semitic, and that's the joke. I'm using my own Southern background, and that's my own stereotype. People assume that we're racist or dumb or whatever they want to think. And so I'm using that in my advantage, and I'm implying that I'm racist or anti-Semitic, and that's the joke to me.
Were you a funny employee when you worked at Six Flags? Which, by the way, Disneyland, yes. Universal Studios, so we have the trifecta.
That's right. You were the Wolverine. Yeah. And who were you at Disneyland?
I wasn't a character.
Everybody always assumes. Security for the characters.
I was security for the characters.
So yeah. That's why I was asking.
But in walking around being security for the characters, you ended up being a character yourself.
Right.
Like, the one day they actually put me as security for Snow White, that was my favorite day of all time. It's like, oh, the jokes are going to come fly. Like, it was so much fun.
So fun.
That was the best day. But yeah, like, so were you the funny one at Six Flags?
I was in the kids shows, so I was.
So
like,
you did
cheesy,
all the racist
funny.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you were
the
just
only
like,
place that could be legal. Wait, the kids shows.
Yeah. So I did like the Bugs Bunny World Games, which was like this game show for like. So it's like in the kids section of the park where they have like those games where you bring kids up on stage and then they get to participate with the character. So I was like, the host of that.
Dad jokes, nothing but dad jokes.
Oh, big time. Yeah. You don't want to eat Daffy. He's too tough.
Wow. You know what though, at this like point cheesy. don't you get to a point in comedy too where you like love jokes like that?
Yeah. You're like, it's so refreshing. I would never even think. You can't even think that simply.
Our
about
brains
anything.
Don't work no. that
yeah.
stupid anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Like we're going to like, okay, how can I make this rape joke funny? Like right. like oh. that's what's going on in our yeah. heads. And then it's like, yeah, you do it.
Yeah. What would Daffy say in the rape joke?
Everyone knows Daffy was the Bill Cosby of Looney Tunes characters.
How
that's
dare
a
you.
Fact.
Duck. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you write all the shit for free? Like, did you take
no,
advantage?
No, that was like, oh, you mean at Six Flags?
Yeah.
No, they, ride.
Ride, I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you said write. Yeah. I mean, we would have employee nights where they would like block off sections in the park and you could just ride the rides over and over and over again.
You love
that
it, huh?
So fun, yeah. And then
what's it like to ride a roller coaster?
I don't know.
I'll never tell.
That's your birthday present.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a handwritten letter describing what it's like.
Man, that sounds amazing.
I have to tell you that when I was telling Adam this, when I saw you for your bachelor party up in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The one female at my bachelor party yeah. was amazing. Sarah Tiana.
Yeah.
It was so great.
The least likely to take her top off. Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it was so refreshing to see you, and it was great that, like, I looked up who was going to be at the improv up in Tahoe that week, and I'm like, Sarah's here.
Yeah, crazy.
Fucking
God.
Great.
I was so familiar excited face. That you guys were up there.
Yeah.
But I came over to see you, and you guys were all playing craps. You were standing around the table. You were on your stool, which
yep.
is the cutest thing ever.
If you haven't seen Brad on a stool, I recommend
playing
it.
Playing craps? Come
like,
on.
Just
rolling
like,
dice?
Yeah.
Jesus. Wearing just, a top hat and a cane?
I mean, no. I wanted him to have, like, a newspaper boy hat on.
Oh
like,
my God.
Like, give me the dice. You know, like,
give me the dice, see? I'm a real snake eye. You're not gonna like it. But, hold on, I can't reach the table. Get my booster seat, see?
I have to make a full confession because I asked you like just a normal question, like, well, what'd you guys do today? And you were like, oh, we went here for lunch and then we went out on the lake and we rented jet skis and then we did this and I have no idea what you said after jet skis because my mind started picturing you on a jet ski and I could not figure out how it worked. Like I was like a whole jet ski, like a little, do they have smart, like a the back of one?
Well,
like, I could not
handlebars?
Figure it out.
Like, well, they put,
like, I'm like, is he flying up into the air while he's holding it? I could not.
They put me on a jet ski sidecar.
That's what I was, that was another thing I was thinking.
Wow,
don't
brilliant.
Tell me that because that was one of my thoughts. Yeah. And I felt so guilty afterwards. I was like,
no.
I honestly have no idea what he said after that because I just started imagining you on a jet ski.
Well, I mean, that does sound like the best dream you could ever have.
Yeah, it does.
Like, just, what'd you dream about last night? Midgets on jet skis. Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
Yeah. What That's did you drink? What sounds, did you smoke? What did you eat?
That sounds amazing. Well, basically, when I'm on a jet ski and people see me go by on the jet ski, everyone just assumes my dad was on the jet ski, fell off, and now they're just a rogue kid
and you're
going
just a
like,
free kid.
I don't know what to do! How do you make it stop?
Okay, definitely do that next time.
Oh, great.
Yeah, everyone's just terrified.
Well, there's, and I think what my answer was,
yeah,
I said there's no
you.
Pedals. Right,
yeah.
So there's not an issue.
Yeah, and all I gotta do is hit the throttle with my thumb and then grip hard with these thunder thighs of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was good.
So you don't have to stand up like it's
no.
like because the bar. I haven't been on a jet ski in so long. I couldn't even remember like
how to work it,
how high or low.
Yeah,
you know, I don't. You know,
well, and you don't. I mean, do you?
No, we're like I'm like still fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wakes. You probably have to be a little more timid of, right? Or no, you fucking live dangerously.
I mean, I was just in a country that you visited. I was just in Guam, and I went out on a jet ski out there. And not to sound like an old sea captain, but the seas were rough that day, my friend. I don't know why I did that like Carson. What the fuck is wrong with me? Anyway, we were wild stuff. Anyway,
wow.
But like
my opening act, a great comic named J.B. Ball, hit a wave and actually flew off the jet ski.
That's great.
That's
and
terrifying.
I did not fly off the jet ski. And I'm like, that's right. There's one thing the dwarves can do better than black people. Just right.
Yeah.
Just
swim?
Right. Just, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh.
Well, no, that definitely not swim. Oh. I had like four life vests, like one like one for each limb. It was not flattering.
Oh, okay. So you're not a good swimmer.
No.
Oh, okay.
I am not strong.
That's not the one fell. That wasn't my thought at all. I was more concerned with you how the jet ski works.
Well, JB's black and he fell in the ocean. What happened? Like, you never finished the story.
Tell me, did he die?
No, he's fine.
Did his hair get messed up?
Yes.
Hey, what was the Brad Paisley thing like?
Oh, wow.
That's out on Netflix right now.
Yeah, which is currently available on Netflix.
As is your podcast, Fried with John Reap.
Yes, who's also on the Brad Paisley Comedy Rodeo.
That was you guys together
Netflix title.
Fucking great.
Yeah. So basically, like, Brad comes out, he plays a bunch of funny songs, and then he introduces the five of us between songs. We also all wrote a song together that we sing at the end, which was really fun to do at his house the night before. Not his actual, his burner house, like not his real house.
Oh, yeah. Because when you're that rich, you have a burner house.
Well, it's like it's like at the bottom of his heel, and he, like, that's where he records a bunch of stuff, and then they were editing a bunch of his videos because he was releasing a video for every song that he was putting out on his new album. So, I mean, it's amazing. Brad is one of the most incredible people in the world. He's humble to a fault, you know.
But what about Paisley?
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
Yeah, totally humble when I hijacked that joke. Anyway,
would have been great if Adam had said that, not you, because you're not talking about your first self and first
person. That's true. Here, let's go back and edit it.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of his too? Was that like a meeting the hero thing?
I mean, I've worked with him for 3 years now, so I got to open for him at the Hollywood Bowl. So that was me and Reap both did. Mm-hmm. So that was after we first met him 3 years ago at the Nashville Comedy Festival. Then he had done a show at the Art Center there during the festival, and he had like seven of us perform, and then, you know, me and Reap just, I guess, like, he just, like, stayed in touch with us.
Stuck
I don't
to
know.
You.
Yeah, he kind of stuck to us. And Kimberly, his wife, Kimberly Williams, who's amazing. She's was the bride and father of the bride. Now she's
Man, she's one of those.
So cute.
Right?
Literally the cutest and the greatest person.
Of course she is.
I know. I mean, the two of them are gross. And so...
What's Paisley's, like, main... Oh, go ahead.
She and I really got
hit it off?
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That helps.
Yeah.
What was comedy at the bowl like? I mean, I feel like it's not terrible. Like, it's probably pretty great.
I was terrified and nervous. I was also going up during the day. It was still light out.
People were still setting up their wine bottles and shit.
Yeah, you know, it was like I was between Mickey Guyton and this guy, Justin Moore. And then Reap went between Justin Moore and Brad because he does a joke about floating down the river. And
just picturing John Reap saying that makes it funny.
Yeah, John and I are
shaking
like
his head.
So animated. So fun. And then, you know, Brad would come out and play Riverbank from that song.
No way.
Perfect. It was like, it all worked out.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, I was like, there's 17,000 people here. And it was probably 3/4 full already. And I was like, you know, I'm going to play to the people up front because I'm like, I doubt anybody's listening to me in the back. I'm just going to try and get through this. And I have this joke where I say my dad's a really tough guy because he fought during the Vietnam War, mostly in bars with his friends because he did not go. And I said,
oh my God,
my dad's a really tough guy because he fought during the Vietnam War. And everyone applauded in the whole place. I mean, it was like, just like huge. And I was like, oh,
don't say the joke.
They're going to hate me in a second.
To hate me. And I was like, I don't know.
What would Sue do?
Right.
What did you?
I told the joke.
Yeah.
And they died. And I
awesome.
Was like, that made me relax. And I was like, I can go anywhere from here.
It's that first laugh.
Yeah.
Was that your opening joke? Pretty early.
It's the second joke.
Do you purposely try to do that in sets, especially of that magnitude, where you try to, like, all right, I need to get a feeler for the crowd? Because that's a good feeler crowd joke.
The first 5 minutes of my set is always the same because I think being a woman in stand-up is a huge advantage. But the only hurdle that I ever have to get over is initially when people see me because they're it's, you know, we've been trained our whole lives not to laugh at women. That's right. It. You've been taught your whole life to respect women and, like,
hopefully.
Women, you put women on a pedestal. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And
but if you get famous NFL. Enough, you can.
And then,
I hate, even doing the voice, president. I hate myself.
Yeah.
But then, so, you know, the first 5 minutes, I tell a joke every 10 to 15 seconds because I'm just getting people in a rhythm of laughing so that they put everything else aside and then I can just take them anywhere from there. So mm-hmm. that's usually so definitely that's what I was doing at the bowl. I was just fast, fast, fast.
That's awesome. When did you develop that strategy?
I mean, I guess it just naturally came about.
Because those are, again, things that I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've gotten a handful of advice from people mm-hmm. that I've older than me, like Brett Ernst and Bobby, when I would go out with them for a little bit, but not a whole lot. A lot of it was just kind of figuring it out, so that when mm-hmm. I've had younger people ask me for things, I tell them, I'm like, and they're like, who told you that? I'm like, I mean, I'm telling you based on just what I'm now. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I feel like I'm answering the question and trying to think
really
about
it. No one's really ever asked me that, so I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm like, I guess you just figure it out, which is so much of what we do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's figure it out. That's what I've been told my whole life.
It's not 900 times and then you go, oh, cool, get them laughing for the first 5 minutes and I can take them anywhere. You just were like, oh, cool, that's working for me.
That's working. I'm not going to change that strategy. And it's like, so even when you're working on new material or you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to tape a new hour or half mm-hmm. hour. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to start this because I'm so used to how I normally start.
Right.
So I might have to just get them to record it, but then not air that first 5 minute part. You know what I mean? Because I really have to get audiences comfortable.
Yeah.
And
And I'll say this to you is because after my first special, I was like, I got to do that again now.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the second special, I was like, again?
And the audience was like, he's going to do it again now?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute.
We're tired of this shit. But I will say this. You'll be surprised what you are capable of when you force yourself to do it.
Right.
Yep. When you're just like, let's throw out that five. Let's just start anew right from scratch.
Yeah.
You'll be shocked. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Oh, facing your fears? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a that crazy concept.
Yeah.
That being said, I will never bungee jump or skydive.
I've bungee jumped, but I'm never going to do it again. Yeah.
Really?
Where'd you do it?
In Switzerland.
Oh, well, I mean,
out of a gondola. But no, it was.
We get it. You're posh. Okay. You're very fancy.
Again, when I was studying in Paris, we could take a Eurorail to other countries on the weekends.
If you said Glendale next to a Best Buy, I would have been like, okay, well, yeah. That didn't seem like the most full experience you could get.
Yeah.
No.
Switzerland?
There was two different jumps. There was a 330 something feet. And then there was a 520, which was the highest in the world at the time. So I was I jumped half the distance of the Eiffel Tower. And the guy that picked me up, I was like, oh my God, that's so crazy. You must do that all the time. He's like, no way, it's too dangerous. And I was like, you work here. And then someone died a week or two after I left because they put the long rope on the short jump. By
accident.
Yeah.
Holy
I know.
Shit.
Yeah. And it's not like we were just jumping over. We were jumping over whitewater rapids. It was nuts.
Someone put the
midgets on jet skis. Everything below
was terrifying
and didn't make sense.
Yeah.
That feels like a Dr. Evil thing. We couldn't afford
the sharks
with
laser
beams on it. So instead of that, we got midgets on jet skis. Equally terrifying. They can't see over the handles. They might run you over. It's really scary.
People have a legitimate fear, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had an old joke in my first special about meeting John Stamos and how he has that fear.
Really?
John Stamos is terrified of midgets.
There was a solid year and change where we were tweeting at him and speaking about it on every podcast and then emailing with his manager publicist for... Still. I mean, I was back and forth with him and he would always get back to me, but it was always no. And it was one of those things where I was like, I ain't taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
And then finally I took no for an answer. but I've restarted the dialogue and he hasn't gotten back yet, but I'm confident.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of Stamos ins, but...
He kissed me once.
So
in an audition.
So you're healed now from everything.
Wait,
he's
and
kind of a crazy person.
Is he?
Yeah, I mean, I knew I met him through Jeff several times because they're really close friends. And then I saw him at one of those yogurt auditions, you know?
Oh,
Greek yogurt, Oikos or something.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
The Greek yogurt spokesman. Hey, eat this and you'll look like me.
Yeah,
not really, but try.
Sure.
Is that what he says? Want these dimples?
That's what it's implied.
Yeah. Suck down
it's
some.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm friends with Jet. Like, it's nice to meet you. Fish. I didn't think he was going to be at the. It was just a callback. It wasn't like a callback, you know, like
well,
all the
I
way
mean,
back.
Well, I mean, if you got to kiss every single girl in the callback.
I know, he probably did.
That's why you show up.
Yeah. I think it was just like an, it was an improvised thing, too. It wasn't okay. like it was in the script. But.
Oh, you mean John Stamos looked at you and in improvised a kiss with you? I mean, that's kind of called sexual assault, Sarah. I don't know.
He said, fuck it. And then he just like grabbed my face and then kissed me. And I was like, well, that happened. Like, I get to tell people that for the rest of my life.
Tongue?
No. Yeah. No. It was just kind of one of those.
Like, I don't know. It's an audition, but like, who knows how Stamos rolls, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
What if he was just like, you walk out and you're like, that's inappropriate. And like, that's just how he does it.
Yeah.
He wants to see how you react.
He slipped his phone number into my back pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were saying to your mouth with his tongue.
Yeah.
Well, he's a real pro.
That's a definite Dave Coulier move. That's what you
Coulier was number on tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does that one.
I'm sure.
This has been unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
It flew by because you're so great. So you have to just come back anytime. Maybe maybe when football season gets going, we can
talk some shit. Let's do it.
How do you think my Seahawks are looking this year? I would love to just know.
I think they're going to be good. They're going to be just fine.
Everyone goes, they're going to be good, but how good? I'm like, wow, you get paid for that analysis?
Well, you know, like, but they're just kind of consistently health. In the playoffs.
Yes.
And they have, you know.
Are we playoff or Super Bowl team? What is it, you know?
I think you're a playoff team. I don't know if you're a Super Bowl team.
No.
But then again, I don't
and
really
that
know.
Was Sarah Tiana, everybody.
Yeah. I don't really know who is a Super Bowl team this year because I think the playing field's a little bit leveled out. I think Cleveland's going to be a lot better than they ever have been. I don't think they're going to be like playoff worthy, but I think they're definitely going to win more than 4 or 5 games.
Cleveland?
I think so.
Wow.
I mean, I want that Kizer to happen. Deshaun Kizer is definitely finally, and then also people on their team are healthy for the first time. But and I mean, I don't even know about the Falcons.
I was going to say, how do you think your Falcons are going to recover?
If we don't win the Super Bowl this year, then we're not even.
Then it's like it's
if they are either going to win the Super Bowl, they're going to win like 2 games. I don't really know. Okay. And it's all going to depend on mentality. We definitely needed more on defense, and that's who we drafted.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really get into it because it feels after I was at the Super Bowl when it happened.
You were there?
It's definitely the most I've ever cried in my life.
And a Falcons fan?
Yeah, I was there.
When did you start crying? Not until the end or once it was like, oh.
As soon as we lost the coin toss.
Because you knew.
I was like, it's over. I went to the bathroom. I had a real good cry. And then I came back to my seat. And then the usher wouldn't let me sit down in my seat. She acted like I wasn't supposed to be there. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you don't even. And she's like, you cannot sit there. And I said, what are you talking about? You need to calm down. And she goes, you need to calm down. It is just a game. And I said, oh, did you just call it Super Bowl a game?
Oh, my God.
It is not just a game.
Like, pickleball is just a game.
I was like, I know you live in Houston, and this is never going to happen to you. This is the worst day of my life.
Way to pile on Houston right now.
I know, right during the flood. But whatever.
You know what?
God's been piling it onto them. But I just, like, I was just devastated. And it feels like finding out my dad had, like, another family. Like, I just don't even trust the team anymore. Like, I just don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I felt the same way when we didn't give it to Marshawn. Right? I mean, it's like, and people say too, they love to compare. They go, it's like when they did that, and you got. I mean, I don't know which one's worse, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily say ours because
second
you go, you had it.
Nonstop.
I could tell you which one's better. Finding out your team's going to lose from the first play of the game against the Seahawks, because then you're like, you have all that time to process.
Yeah.
Can I be honest?
By the end of the game,
I wish it had that we had not have been.
You wish for a blowout rather than that.
I wanted it to be competitive, but I was completely ready to lose because I knew that they had more experience than us at Super Bowls. And then when we just started running away with it, I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then our defense just got tired.
It's sad.
Yeah. But, you know, this year we have Steve Sarkisian, who's our new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Fight on SC.
And he loves the party.
He loves the party. But also, him and Dan Quinn have been friends since Washington, since Sark was at Washington.
That bodes well.
Yeah, bodes well because, you know, Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator at Seattle forever, and that's how they became friends. So I think Dan has a little bit more
trust
and he can outvote Sark a little bit more.
And I feel like Sark's just
he should just be happy to have a job.
That for sure.
That too.
I feel like he's more NFL ready than college.
I think he was
out of his. I mean, it's like he was partying harder than the kids.
I think he also has a lot of really complicated plays that kids in college necessarily couldn't follow, like memorize. But when you get to the pro level, like
he's like, do this play right, or I'm going to drink a keg tonight. And they're like, what? He's like, fine, I'm drinking it. They're like, we didn't even answer yet.
Yeah. We're there though. We'll come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 I can't encourage our fans enough to, and our listeners to go see you live.
Yep.
It's a fantastic show. And
thank you.
If you're in Vegas, go see you at the Life is Beautiful Festival.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first of all, go see Muse.
Yeah.
Make sure you see Muse.
Yeah, I will.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Live is amazing.
Yeah, you are the two, what makes a great comic and somebody fun to watch. Super likable.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. Right?
Oh, you can't get you.
And you're a product of Sue Tiana.
And like,
which is the third factor.
Yeah.
Which,
but,
you know,
but maybe the most important.
Maybe the most important factor.
Yeah. The most important.
And tune in next week when our guest will be Sue Tiana.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, I did want to call her, but I thought maybe that I didn't want to put her on the spot. And also, what if it was a big sham and she was like, this is that one podcast I fucking hate. We were like, Jesus, curveball.
Just a ruse.
Yeah.
Man.
Midgets aren't even real people. Click. We're like, really? Damn it.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that she does hate. Yeah. No, yeah.
Sue and Stamos.
Yeah.
They have a reality show where they go around the country being like, fake news. They just point at dwarves' faces and go, fake news.
Yeah, she would be so excited if you guys called her. She always answers the phone the same way, like, this is Sue. Like, that's just
that's the most adorable shit ever.
That's how she learned to do that, because my sister and I would call her every day during the summer, like, Ma, Joanna took my
yeah.
She took a shower too long and it's cold, you know, whatever. She was like, only call me if it's an emergency. And we're like, is it gonna rain tonight? Are we gonna have a softball game? This is an emergency. So anyway, capbandana.com.
Yes.
Saratiana.com.
For all your tour dates.
All my tour dates.
Social media at Saratiana.
Yeah.
You are a must follow on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I implore people.
Brad is a big
follow.
Twitter guy, and he only calls it out when it's a must.
Yeah, and
that's nice.
You have to follow you on Twitter, and especially now that football season is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
If you want the best game day jokes,
yeah.
Follow Saratiana. Yeah.
I will. It's gonna be awesome. I will second that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you and Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman is hilarious on Twitter,
and you have just a few more N bombs. Just a few, though.
Well, you know, I really don't say them it out loud. I do scream it when I'm angry.
Good night, everybody.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.